Question 45. Know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables? Mark 4:13. And he said unto them, How then will ye know all parables? Jesus had just finished teaching the parable of the sower. This parable teaches that the world is like broadcast seed, and that its production is commensurate with the soil in which it is sown. The parable is found in several of the Gospels, Matthew 13:1-53, Mark 4:1-34, Luke 8:4-13. This is a good amount of reading, but it's well worth the reader's time. Jesus warned us that if we did not know this parable, we were not likely to know any. This is a dire warning, to be sure. From his statement, we can logically conclude that this would be the place to start to understand all parables. But unfortunately, it seldom is. What is the lesson that we're to learn so that we'll know how to hear? In his explanation of the parable of the sower, Jesus points out certain foibles in our life that corrupt the communication of spiritual truth through parables, such as keeping the word which was sown. We must not let Satan take away the word that was sown in our heart. Keeping the word of God need not be considered some dramatic or drastic measure. Neither should it be necessarily a supernatural occurrence. It may be simply taking the time and application of diligence in reading the scriptures and spending time in quiet before the Lord. The prevention of corruption of our understanding can be as simple as the use of memory aids. Sometimes we simply forget what the Lord impressed upon us at a particular time, and because we're too busy, we didn't meditate upon it and hear it in its fullest. Neither did we simply write it down. It's not only receiving, hearing the word of God, but also retaining it that we must be careful to achieve. Sometimes the Lord speaks to us, the true word of God, when we're busy going about life. Answers for which we've sought his wisdom may come to us at any time, and we must therefore, at all times, be ready to receive the word of God. If we forget, or we don't take the time to receive the word in its fullest, our slothful, disorganized lives may be the cause of our own digression. Diligence must be used here to retain the word. Arguments are sometimes brought against revelation. God may reveal truth to one, and another may argue that it goes against tradition or his understanding. Your revelation may be put to the test at this point. You may be asked hard and sometimes cruel questions. Do you think that all of our forefathers were wrong and you're right? Or your detractors may ask if you think that God has changed. They may make arguments about remaining true to tradition or family. They may even prove their point with misapplied scripture. Or they say in so many words, well, you can believe what you want, but I'm not going to change. In effect, they're ostracizing you, setting you aside, and now you face a choice of loneliness with your revelation or fellowship without it. The hot sun is coming up on your new seed. Let your root of revelation run deep where it can find water from below. Know your God. Know his voice. Know his scriptures. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. To avoid these arguments is most beneficial. If we give it up, if we give in, that word will be scorched, and it will wither and die. Which brings us to our second point in learning how to hear. Dealing with persecution and temptation has taken many forms over the years. Our forefathers would likely laugh, or perhaps cry, at what makes us knuckle under today. The slightest social persecution, even among friends, causes us to become mumbling, stuttering cowards. Few of us stand for what we believe, and Therefore, many good ideas, answers for today's questions, and perfectly sound doctrines are lost forever. Do we really believe in continuing revelation, or do we not? Do we really believe that God speaks to us today, or don't we? Can it be that we believe our forefathers were infallible and possessed all the knowledge of God, and that they were incapable of being wrong on any and all matters? These questions, answered honestly, would lead one to conclude that our forefathers were, as we are, a long, long way from perfection. We must not stifle the voice of God within his people. We are to hear his voice, not the voice of our progenitors. The apostles had the ability and commission to write scripture. We do not. However, if we have had revealed to us ideas within the framework of honestly interpreted scripture, we shouldn't cower and tremble before our peers. Great men of reformation from apostolic times until now stood upon their revelation against all their peers, against every church, and all conventional thinking. The scriptures witnessed to what was revealed to them, and though it may be widely accepted today, it was not then. Their insistence on their revelation brought many reformers to the point of death and abandonment. We shouldn't fear what man will say or do. We should quake at the prospect of answering to a living God for our reluctance to obey, preach, and be willing to die for truth. The third point is resisting the cares of this world. We become so busy and concerned with making a living, we find ourselves doing so at the cost of one's life. We readily see the ebbing of happiness and health as we push our way through this world. But I wonder if we're aware of the dulling of our ears and the cataracts of care that impairs our spiritual vision. We're absorbed in a world that constantly offers us things and shames those who do not have them. We're bombarded by gifts and rewards and compelled to give them in return for nearly any and every occasion. We're compelled to be intrigued with great bargains and with getting something for nothing, and lotteries, gamings, raffles, door prizes, awards, rebates, discounts, refunds, coupons, sales, giveaways, offers, etc. All these are based in an importance of money and the possession of things. This is the most influential yet of the dangers about which Christ warned us in the parable of the sower. It is a claim on our soul that we will not easily shake. As a dieter cannot quit eating altogether, but must deal daily with the food truly and honestly, even so must all of us deal with money. There are those who try to distinguish money from the love of money. They do this to justify their greed that they think they have under control. They call money good, but only the love of it they call bad. I ask you, how can the love of something that is wholly good be evil? If we choose to be wary of it altogether, we'll be much safer. Money is an evil that must be used every day in order to live. It will take supernatural talent and ability to maintain your balance. Don't take this fear for granted or count it a light thing. Money will try you every time you have to use it. You must take it one instance at a time, seeking God's help to deal with this necessary evil. Or as Jesus put it, what is sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jesus taught that what you need to live every day is all the evil you can deal with on a daily basis. After he taught not to be concerned with what you eat and what you will wear, he said, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself." How you hear the word of God has little to do with your physical ears. It really has more to do with the life and body to which these ears are attached. Those who fail in areas outlined by Christ in the parable of the sower have prepared themselves to misunderstand, misapply, and misconstrue his teaching, not only in this parable, but in all parables. You may be viewing here the main cause of the anemic church we all witness in the 21st century. Modern society majors in the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Advertising is ineffectual without being able to play upon all of these flaws in human character. The pride some take in being part of the crowd, coupled with the fear of being alone, was introduced and enforced from a young age, and the idea is refreshed daily in the media. Selfishness and pride are played upon in marketing and focused upon our children and encouraged throughout their school years. How will they learn to stand for their individual thought if being one of the crowd is made so important to them? Much is owed to the men and women of the past, for whom adherence to their revelation was a matter of honor and character and truth. These are things that hinder understanding of God's voice within. Failure in these three areas are discussed as a prime cause for misunderstanding of doctrine, of Scripture, and one another. You must have properly prepared soil for the seed of the Word of God to take root and grow. To do that, you must take heed how you hear. Because if we miss these points of warning outlined in the parable of the sower, how then will you know all parables?